Hey everyone, Luke here from Metal Hammer Magazine, introducing you to episode 5 of Metal Hammer Meets. And my guest this time is Nurgle from Behemoth. I met Nurgle last week while he was in town promoting the new album I Loved You At Your Darkest, which is out now. And we had a chat about that record, but also about him being considered a hipster by metal fans, whether artists can ever be free, and if it's possible for anyone to be truly good. It gets quite deep and quite blasphemous, so enjoy. Obviously, we're here today on album launch day. Like it's everything. It's all. I Loved You At Your Darkest is out today. Like, how are you feeling?
Very excited. The anticipation is over. It felt like keeping my baby in a. I've never been pregnant in my life, so I don't know the feeling, but somehow I know. So it's like you keep it for months, and the anticipation is growing, and people are like fucking bursting out, and I'm like, yes, it is. Here's this day, so there's a lot of relief, okay? But also anxiety too, and excitement too, because I'm really eager to share, people's opinions, to talk about people about that. Every record is like, it's part of me, and I'm giving the world like, hey, this is my kidney here, okay? Or this is my liver, I'm just handing it to you, How are you gonna... It's exciting. It's cool.
So are you the sort of guy who gets nervous? You don't strike me as someone who gets nervous at all.
I'm not nervous in the regular sense of the term, I never get stage fright anymore and stuff. I'm very self-confident, but I'm excited. I'm excited. I get hyped, and I love this feeling, the adrenaline.
So do you care about people's reactions to your music?
Or I do. I won't be lying. But then again, I do, in the first place, it's all about my satisfaction, okay? So I'm making music not to please people. Pleasing people is in the second or third place, maybe, you know what I mean? So artist is creating for his own artistic, egocentric needs. But that's a very paradoxical too, because I've never heard of any artist. If they say they never care about other people's opinions, they're lying, because every artist requires recognition and want to be noticed by, recognized by, widely. That's why we do it. So it's very paradoxical, we do it for ourselves, but then we want the world to bend on its knees. Which hardly ever happens. And then we're disappointed, frustrated, and then we go back to our caves again and just work on, this one is gonna put the world to its knees. And the cycle goes on until we die.
Obviously, The Satanist was such a landmark album for the band and a real statement of intent, it felt like. But how important was it for you not to just copy that formula and do that again?
If you're familiar with Behemoth discography, there's 11 records, and none of the records is alike. They're just no twin albums there. Every record is different, and that is our trademark, so to say. I'm a huge AC/DC fan, and I'm expecting AC/DC to deliver nothing but AC/DC. Okay, I've heard they're in the studio now. Get me some more AC/DC. I'm a fan. When you're a Behemoth fan, you're never gonna get the same record. So, no chance for those who expect The Satanist Part 2.
So, obviously, a lot of things that fed into The Satanist was what happened to you and your health and everything beforehand. Like, what was sort of the main catalyst and driving force behind I Loved You At Your Darkest?
Life in general. I just lived my life after The Satanist. I've enjoyed the hell out of touring for that record. I did a lot of traveling worldwide, just with the band, of the band, going through some ups and downs, personal life, some crises, some highlights, collecting all that information in my data, and then just spitting it out when the time came right. I just felt it, it's the moment comes, and then you just grab your instrument, whatever you play, and you just release it, I'm not really one of those guys that just sit there every day and just jamming and doing something. Guitar is my tool. for other, you know, for a blacksmith, it's a hammer, and for a wood, you know, worker, it's, you know, nails, and I don't know, a saw, whatever. It just, you know what I mean? It's like, it's tools. You need a tool to create something, to build something. And I need my guitar to release my, to express my inner self. So, yeah, life. With all its, you know, with all the rainbow of its nature.
So obviously I think the key thing everyone's picked up on is that the blasphemy has been ramped up a lot on this record. Like, was it always going to be that way?
I mean, like, some people are like, they're just waking up and, whoa, you're so blasphemous, you're this, you're that, you know. I'm like, well, you surely not familiar with our history, because this band has been pretty much all about the same ever since, okay? So, like, some idiots coming now and say, oh, you're just, you know, cashing on that, you know, Christian, like, bashing Christianity all the time. Well, just, you just come up with something that is very unoriginal. Maybe it's unoriginal, but I've never said I am original, okay? I'm just being myself. If I'm dull as fuck, I'm dull as fuck. Take it or leave it. From 91, Behemoth has a very strong anti-religious agenda. And I believe that we just perfected it now, and we can express it in a very artistic and beautiful way. That's how I see that. Some people may see it differently, but that's how I see it. And that's how I'd like to see that, okay? And that's it.
So obviously the title itself came from the Bible itself. Like, have you had any sort of backlash from religious groups who may have seen that you're taking their, you know, their text?
Maybe. There's been so much information, you know, rushing through. I really hope. You know, someone said very smart words. If you can't impress them, confuse them. So I hope, you know, if our music is not impressive enough, you know, we can still fuck them up a little bit, stir the shit up, and just make them confused, make them disturbed. You know, that's what I think. You know, the art is there to be, just to, not to make your life comfortable. It's there to disturb your life, just to make you think, to fucking to poke you, to stimulate you. You know, I'm not here to make your, you know, to make you sleep nice and tight. You know, I'm here to disturb your sleep.
What sort of music disturbs you then? What genuinely scares you?
It's not really about just being scared. It's about being touched deeply. I don't know, I listen to Nick Cave and I trust him, you know, and he's a very credible artist to me. But I listen to Swans and it fucking kills my, you know, bowels, you know, with how noisy and honest it is. But I listen to this new band, I mean, new, they just released a record today, One Head, One Tail, and they're black metal, but they seem to be very disturbing. Or Vatain, or... Yeah. There's music, you know, but then I go to see Lars von Trier film, and it's very disturbing as well. So there's a lot of stuff out there I'm looking for, you know, to touch me deeply, to strike me, you know, because that's what I'm expecting for the true art.
So speaking of art, obviously the visual aspect of this album, there's been a lot of pictures of you on the cross and pictures of you in robes and everything. Like, how important is the visual aspect to Behemoth?
It's pretty essential. I mean, to me, I approach what we do conceptually, very holistically, okay? So it's a one big thing, you know, that I know there's people who just listen to music, or like there's Catholics that love Behemoth, you know? So maybe they just skip that part, which is okay. But it's like, can you watch a movie? Can you go to the movies and just close your eyes? You can. But how much you're going to benefit from it? Just partly, you know, because sound is one thing, but the vision is pretty essential here. I'd say it's the same with Behemoth. They're, like, all these parts are very important to fully understand and absorb the nature of our music.
So there's pictures of you I've seen as well using... like the crucifix is like a catapult and things like that, which is almost like a playful sort of take on sort of, you know, blasphemy, I guess. Like, how seriously do you take it, and do you try and just have a bit of fun or sarcasm with everything that's involved?
I hope I have enough distance, you know, that I keep to myself and to my art. I'm very serious about it, but then when the time is right, I'm just goofy as I can be, you know, and just stupid and just be a jerk, which is a comfort of being as part of being free, you know, of my freedom that I've earned with the hard work. So, what's my foundation? What's the fundament of my being here? It's, I hope, a really well-played, honest music. This is the foundation of what we do. If it was just some shallow, you know, like plastic shit that I'd be aware of, and I'd be doing all that stuff around, that would mean I'm just doing the stuff around just to cause attention. But I'm doing all the stuff around because I'm aware of how good it is, what we did with the band, you know, how solid it is, how it definitely has an impact on people and listeners and spectators. And we could just avoid all the, you know, things around and just let the music speak, and it would be just fine. But why not have some fun on the side and just some sarcastic or, yeah, just some sick humor on the side and do some happenings that just spice it up a little bit, like the God Equals Dog treats and all that stuff. It's happening, you know. You can't really treat that serious, can you? I mean, if you do, then, well, that's your problem, you know. I don't, you know. I mean, but if I see Catholics just going nuts for that, like seriously, I'm like, oh shit, that's cool, you know, because I know that it's. I mean. If I was a religious person and someone would do that, I wouldn't even bother to comment that, you know. Like, if I think this guy's an idiot, I would just think about it. But there'd be no need to write it, because my credo, my core, my beliefs are here, not around. Unlike for most religious people, they're so weak here inside of them that they need to make a lot of noise and just scream about like everything that just they feel insulted with, you know. I'm just sitting there and laughing like a devil, because I know that I just poke them in the right spot, you know, because it's their problem, not mine.
So you mentioned freedom in your previous answer. I was wondering, with all the sort of backlash that Behemoth have received and negativity surrounding your music in your homeland and everywhere else, like, do you consider yourself free as an artist?
Relatively. I mean, can anyone be free in today's world? No. There's always something that binds you to something. You have a kid, you're bound to the kid, you know, because you feel responsible for it, so you're not free anymore. Depends how you see that, you know. You're part of society, you have to pay taxes. Are you free? No, because you're bound to paying taxes. And so on and so on. But as much as my freedom gets, as far, I mean, like, I feel restrained, I feel restricted and limited at some points, you know, and some places. And some others I feel totally liberated. It really depends. But, I mean, within my freedom, okay, within this niche, this ghetto, so to say, I do whatever the fuck I want, you know, so that's where my freedom is. That's why you never see Nurgle fucking, you know, protesting in the street with the transparents and just, you know, with it. You know what I mean? Just that's not me. I never be that person, because that would disturb other people's freedom. I don't want to be in front of their faces just screaming that I know the truth, you know. I got my truth, you know, but I deal with it within my temple, and my temple is my record, is my the venue I'm playing tonight or I'm doing my exhibit. This is my temple. I'm not going out in the street screaming at other people, you know, like what a lot of religious people do, right? They just go in the street and Jesus will punish you, or you know, Jesus saves. Especially in America, you get that like every corner. In New York, you're anywhere, you got this old medley religious people, just you know, screaming the truths, you know, right in your face. And I'm like, well, that's violent, that's aggressive. I'm not buying it, you know. I don't want it. Stay away from me, you know. I'd never do that. I'm not, and then again, I've never been that arrogant to just go to other people and say, hey, I have the monopoly on truth. I got my truths, I got my thoughts, but are they ultimate? Nah. You know, Bertrand Russell said this like very, very amazing quote, you know, that the world is... It's pity to see that the world is full of stupid people being so self-confident, and a lot of clever people being so insecure and so unsure of the world. You know what I mean? That says a lot. You know, if you're just blindly, fanatically into something, and you can die for that, that's the first signal that something's very wrong with you.
So obviously, yeah, you don't ascribe to any religion, but I was wondering if there's any sort of philosophy that you follow, or if there's any sort of way of life that you ascribe to.
Absolutely. It's a process. It's a process. It incorporates a lot of elements that I've collected throughout the years, you know, and they're just in my bank. And I try to live according to that. But I'm no sacred. I'm no saint. You know, I'm a hypocrite. And, well, I'm not ashamed to admit that. But then, you know, in the end of the day, it's all about the balance, right? So, like, okay, let's put it that way. Who's the last person you see every day? That's a question.
Probably my other half, I guess, the last person I see.
In my case, it's also other half, which is me, because I'm not half, I'm full. Okay, so if I look in the mirror, I see myself. And when I brush my teeth before I go to bed, I see myself. And I'm the last person that I see before I go to bed. And I'm also the first person that I see when I wake up, because I go to brush my teeth again and I see Nurgle. Oh shit, it's you again. So I think the bottom line is to, whatever you do during your day, okay, it's all about the balance, you know. Am I a righteous being? Were I okay to other people, or were I more like of an asshole? You know what I mean? I was 60% good to people and 40% asshole, I win. You know what I mean? There's no perfections out there. You know, we're only human beings with our perfections and imperfections. So what my philosophy is all about, I'm working hard on being 60% good and 40% bad to other people. I want to just stay honest with myself and try not to hurt too many people in my life, you know. I don't know if it makes sense, but that's to me.
Is it important to have that element of bad, though, rather than try and be 100% good?
I'm trying, you know, but I just gave you an example, you know. Maybe I'm like 90% awesome, you know.
Yeah, but would you not want to get rid of the bad side? Do you think there's something to be benefited from having a slight bit of bad inside?
Monster Magnet, one of my favorite bands, used to sing, "It's good to be bad." Sounds like a paradox, right? But hey, I mean. Okay, let me ask another question to you, okay? Because you asked me a question, I'll answer with a question. Could you live with one leg? Is it possible to live with one leg only?
Yeah.
but it's so much better to use both. That's all about the duality of human nature, you know. We all imbalance and we try to balance it out. Makes sense to me. That's why we have two hands, pair of eyes, pair of legs, pair of balls, and so on and so on. That's the reason for that. That even your, it's the duality of human nature is reflected in your body. Would you like someone to chop off your ball? No. I'd like my both balls, you know. I need them, you know, to do all the fun stuff, and not only. And that's exactly what our nature is all about, you know. Embrace the shitty side of yourself, you know. Love you at your darkest. That's what the title says it, you know. Sometimes you just go below, we just go really low, and but hey, I mean, that's part of our nature. Just embrace that, you know. Embrace that and don't castrate your dark side. There's this really amazing series called Dexter, right? I'm a fan. And remember what the main guy used to say? He always mentioned his dark passenger. That's how I see that, you know. And like doing Behemoth and performing my arts is this is my dark passenger. And that's, Gustav Jung would say, that's how I'm dealing with my demons. That's how I'm dealing with my, I think he would use the term coping with your shadows. So that's the shadows, okay? And I'm coping with them. I'm embracing them. I'm absorbing them because they're part of me. I don't want to castrate them. I need to make friends with them. I need to build a bridge and fucking communicate with it, you know? While all the monotheistic religions, they suggest you castrate that, you know? You're not allowed to do that. And if you allow yourself to let your demons speak, you must go and confess and pray and, you know, feel self-pity and just feel guilty and stuff like that, you know? I'm against that. I'm officially against it. That's what I'm targeting. I'm not targeting people who think that way, because it's their will. I'm targeting the dogma. I'm attacking the ideology that is harmful for your hygiene. It's just not healthy to live with your own leg, with the good side only, because it's not possible. I mean, it's possible, but you end up being disabled, you know, handicap, you know, mental handicap, spiritual handicap. That's the perfect term to describe, you know, highly religious people. You know, you are spiritual handicaps. I don't want to be that person.
So you seem to be you're a very chill Zen sort of individual, and I think a lot of people perceive you as just a sort of screaming Satanist a lot of the time. Does that annoy you, that sort of misconception that people see you another way?
Aleister Crowley used to say, black to the blind. If they want to see only the black side of me, I gladly wear black every day. Because every day I'm at funeral of God. So I'll celebrate that, you know, that God died. And I'll just wear black and I'll be the Satanist for them, you know, gladly. And for those who are willing to read between the lines, they'll see the rainbow behind my back. And they see the whole palette of colors and possibilities that lies within human potential. Mine, yours, even his.
See, obviously, I think Behemoth, you know, for lack of a better word, they're a very sort of antagonistic band, you know, riling people up, as we've discussed. But do you think a lot of bands are afraid of pushing buttons nowadays? Like, it seems like you're the main one doing it.
There's few bands that do that, and I really appreciate them. You know what? Especially in US, there's all these bands, you know, that play so fast, they play like billions of notes, like this fucking 280, you know, the drum tempos and shit, and they think they're extreme. But they're dull. In the end of the day, they're dull. It's also safe and it's also like friendly and stuff. And I'm like, oh, that's boring. That's not extreme to me. So, I mean, if you say that we are very antagonistic being, which we are, it just puts a huge fucking smile on my face. Because I'd rather be antagonistic. I'd rather just, you know, determine all these bipolar reactions rather than face people's indifference. As an artist, that's the best feedback, the best result I can get by releasing my art. I would fucking hate to see people either loving me 100%, which is impossible, or hating me. It's also not possible, you know. So, like, if you can, you know, level it out, awesome.
There are some quite vocal detractors of you, and not necessarily religious types, but music fans that are calling you like a poser and a hipster and all these things. Like, do you see these, and do you have a message for them?
Well, I mean, are we posing? Oh, who is poser? It's a person who poses. I mean. If we take a photo now, I'll make a face number 2, okay, or face number 3. So I'm posing. Does it make me a poser? Probably. So in some sense, we all are posers, okay? But I like to say we just wear masks, okay? I'm wearing a mask of an artist who's being interviewed by a journalist now, okay? When I will face fans there, I'll be acting differently probably. And then when I'll be talking to my manager, my face will change, my intonation will change, and then maybe I'm gonna end up with some gorgeous woman in my room after the party, and believe me, I won't be talking to her like I'm talking to you. So does this make me a poser? If so, then I'm a poser. I'd like to say that we're just wearing masks, you know? And then I'll be calling my mom, and again, I'll be a different person. But am I a different person? Give me a coin, and you'll see what it is, you know? There's a human nature, you know? You can't really separate that, you know? I mean, when people tell me, I'm wearing this ring, you know, with two faces, right? It's like the theater symbol, right? With two masks. It kind of, you know, stands for like represents, you know, what the duality of human nature is to me. Sometimes I hear from people, "Oh, you're so double nature. You're so double face." I'm like, "Stop offending me. I believe like average dog has 56 faces, you know, and every human being has at least million of faces. Stop insulting me. Only 2. Fuck you." So that's the first answer, and the second answer was poser and hipster. Okay, anywhere I go, I'll start a tour, okay, and I'll go to Phoenix, and let's say I got 3 hours to kill. I'll approach the promoter and say, "Hey, where's the nearest hipster area here? What do you mean, on the hip area? Oh yeah, you go there and there, and that's where I go." You know why? Because all the hipsters areas in every town or every city is the coolest spots on earth. Why? Because that's always a good coffee spot, and I'm looking for a good coffee place, not a shitty fucking coffee. There's always craft beer place. There's always great record store with amazing vinyls, secondhand or whatever. There's always theaters. There's always cinemas. There's cool spots, you know, culturally, that's hipsters make the world evolve. Am I a hipster myself? I don't know, because I always run away from like any definitions, you know. I used to have this mustache, like curly mustache, you know, and I heard a lot that I'm a hipster. Wow. So the mustache makes me a hipster. Wow. I mean, people love their labeling, you know. People love to put stickers on your forehead, and on my forehead there's a lot of space, so I always get more than one, and it's cool, you know. If it makes your life easier, cool with me. But trust me, if I'm a hipster, then fine, you know, but I'm a hipster and I'm a billion other things at the same time. It just depends what I need in this very moment. I just throw the card out and I'll just do it. because that's what the complexity of human nature is all about. We're very complex beings. And you people and you, you know, bashers and accusers, you know, you better learn that, you know. The sooner you learn about that, the happier and less frustrated you're going to be, and the less violent and aggressive you're going to be towards other people, you know, because it's all about yourself. There's hipster in each one of you. I say more. That's going to be very controversial for some people. I bet that there's Adolf Hitler in each one of you as well, you know, maybe a little percent. And so on and so on. Like, we are everything, okay? There's this whole universe that's in you, and it's in me, and it's even in him. You know what I mean? Yeah. You know what I'm trying to say? It's just, I don't know. But then again, I might be wrong.
And that was Nurgle. Don't forget, the new Behemoth album, I Loved You At Your Darkest, is out now on Nuclear Blast. We've got another special interview coming up in a few weeks with someone who's not in a metal band, but is very, very metal. And don't forget, if you enjoyed this, leave us a review on iTunes, Acast, Spotify, wherever you're listening to this. Cheers.